Hi everybody, this is Haishi, and welcome back to Cloud Patterns. It's been a while since I recorded the last episode for Cloud Patterns, which is really unfortunate because I believe this is a very useful series to make. And now I've reset my schedule to record more episodes. I have about 30 episodes planned so far, and I hope this time I can stick to a more steady release schedule and keep the series more active. And I thank everyone who have encouraged me to continue with the series. Thank you. Enough said on that, let's jump right into today's pattern, competing consumer pattern. Competing consumer pattern is one of my favorite patterns because it's simple, yet very powerful at the same time. It provides many features such as loose coupling, load balancing, failover, and dynamic scaling, etc. And the implementation is very easy, especially if you're using Windows Azure Service Bus queues. The idea of competing consumer is very simple. A job creator pushes jobs to a job queue, which may have one or more subscribers who compete for these jobs, hence the name competing consumers. The first feature of competing consumer is that it provides a loose coupling between job creator and job processors. Job creator can generate jobs at its own pace and then moves on to other tasks. For instance, a UI component can offload complex tasks to backend processors for asynchronous processing and free up resources to remain responsive to user inputs. And then in the backend, I can spin up multiple consumers as needed, and they will compete to finish the jobs. In this animation, you can see a job creator creates three jobs in the queue, and consumer A gets the first job, consumer B gets the second job, and so on and so forth. The second feature of competing consumer is failover. In previous animation, I showed jobs are directly removed from the job queue when read by consumer. However, what actually happens is that when a consumer gets a job from the queue, it places a lock on the job, so the job is invisible to other consumers, but the job is still on the queue. After placing the lock, the consumer is given a time window to complete the job. It has to explicitly mark the job as completed within this time window. Let's say in this case, consumer A actually crashes after it gets the job. It's totally gone. Then, after the lock expires, the job will reappear on the queue so it can be picked up by other consumers. Later on, when consumer A restores itself, it can rejoin the competition to get more jobs. This locking mechanism ensures a job is handled at least once, but it doesn't guarantee if a job is handled multiple times. For instance, consumer A gets a job and handles the job, but it crashes right before it marks the job as completed. Then the job will reappear on the queue after lock expires and will be processed the second time. One way to handle this situation is to use idempotent service design, which is out of the scope of this episode, but we can discuss that later. The third feature of competing consumer is dynamic scaling. Because of loose coupling, the job creator doesn't care how many consumers are listening to the job queue, and each consumer doesn't care how many other consumers are competing with it. This allows us to add or remove consumers at any time to adjust system capacity without affecting running components. This enables several interesting scenarios for us. For instance, we can have processors deployed on different data centers, so we can have cross-data center failovers. And we can have on-premises processors as backups, which can be launched at any time to take some workloads off the system when there are unexpected spikes in traffic. Competing consumers also reflect an important design philosophy on cloud, which is to avoid centralized components. Centralized components, who assume to have global knowledge of the entire system, are really hard to be scaled out. And architecturally, they are the single point of failure of a system. So whenever possible, we should avoid using centralized components. And competing consumer patterns can be really helpful in this case. Instead of centralized component dispatching jobs to all participants, we turn the table around and allow participants to request for new jobs on their own. For instance, in a common load balancing scenario, a load balancer knows about all connected instances and dispatches jobs to them in a round-robin fashion. Such load balancing algorithms commonly assume participants are autonomous, which means all participants have the identical configuration, capacity, and workloads. However, in reality, the actual loads on different instances will be different. When you have jobs that vary greatly in complexity, it's possible that some unlucky instances got assigned to many complex tasks and become really busy, and other instances are underutilized. With competing consumers pattern, on the other hand, a consumer instance can request for a new task only when it's done with the current task. So in a way, it can pace itself without being overloaded. Now let's see a code sample of this pattern. This is a simple Windows console application that I use to demonstrate competing consumers pattern. The code is fairly straightforward. First, I will generate 100 random jobs whose processing time will vary from 100 milliseconds to about 5 seconds. And I use a service bus client to send the jobs to a job queue. Then I will start 4 consumers, and each consumer will run this loop to get jobs from the queue, process the job, and then mark the job as completed. It's fairly straightforward, and this is what you do to accomplish a competing consumers pattern. The second part of the program is to simulate a round-robin dispatching scenario. In this case, I will simply dispatch the jobs to each consumer in a round-robin fashion. Then we'll compare the total execution time between the two implementations. Let's run this application. You can see here I have 100 tasks with total execution time about 252 seconds. And they are sent to 4 consumers to be processed. And then we'll compare the competing consumers pattern and the simple round-robin load balancing. Now the jobs are completed. You can see first, in the case of competing consumers, each consumer handled the different numbers of tasks. However, the total workload on those consumers are roughly balanced. In the case of round-robin load balancing, you can see each consumer is assigned to the exact same number of tasks. However, you can see the loads on each instance is less balanced, and the total processing time is a little longer comparing to the competing consumers. Of course, the key point here is not to compare the two load balancing method, but to show how you can use competing consumers in your own code. To recap, competing consumer is a very simple yet very powerful pattern, and enables very interesting scenarios for us, such as loose coupling, load balancing, failover, and dynamic scaling. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please send me your thoughts to my Twitter account, and you can go to my blog to get the source code I just presented in this session. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time.